Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good to have Brother Bill Smith's son, his family here. Good to have you folks down here from, is it North Carolina? South Carolina. Okay. But near North Carolina. Not too far south in South Carolina. I was shocked after service one night at the crusade in Charlotte. Here they came walking up to me and said, introduced themselves. I said, well, I'd know you were Bill Smith's son. I said, I wouldn't know that. And what a joy to have them here this weekend and here for a few days. That's great, great, great. Good to have you, Mrs. Smith, and the kids. What a wonderful thing. I know y'all are enjoying grandkids. I know that's good. That's good. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. On this fifth Sunday night when we come to the Lord's Supper, it's hard for me to turn anywhere else besides the book of Hebrews. And I love turning to chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews. If I were to title the sermon tonight, I would title it simply, "This is Better." This is better. I'm going to read verses 9 through 22. Then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." Wow, that we all would say that. "He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering ofttimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before," isn't that an interesting statement? "After that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Yeah, say amen right there. Yeah. "Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." And I'd like to just go on and read and read. But I must give you, first of all, the premise of the book of Hebrews. The premise of the book of Hebrews is that what we have now is better. What we have now is better. Every once in a while, reading through the book of Hebrews, you read the phrase, "don't go back." It's talking about going back, going back. And whenever he's talking about going back, remember, he is writing to Hebrews. And he is saying to them, "Don't go back to temple worship. Don't go back to sacrifices and priests. Don't go back to those things. What you have is better. And what we come to tonight is better." Now, I understand the value of studying the tabernacle in the temple. And I like to look at the instruments and the furniture and the construction and everything of that. I like to look at the priest's garments and the things that he wore and how the sacrifices were done and everything like that. And that's okay. And that's fine. But don't think that that was better. That was not better. What we have is better. You say, but they're the covenant people. The Jews are the covenant people of God. That's true, they are the covenant people of God. But we're children of God. We're His kids. Don't draw back to that. Don't get swept back into that kind of thing. And don't get to... Some people say, oh, I just wish I'd lived back in those days. You read the book of Leviticus, you won't wish you were back in those days. You won't wish for that at all. What we have is better than Old Testament sacrifices. What we have is better than temple worship. What we have is better than the Old Testament feasts. What we have is better than the Passover. It's better. I want to look at five things tonight very quickly, and then we'll come to remembering our Lord Jesus Christ as we look at the superiority of what He has brought to us, and we remember how He brought that to us. First of all, what we have is better because the Old Testament sacrifices reminded them of the wrath of God. Now, there was in that an expression of the mercy of God. But as they looked at that Old Testament sacrifice and as they brought their sacrifices to the priest and as the priest offered these animal sacrifices, they were reminded constantly that God is a God of wrath. You see, in the Old Testament, God's wrath was fully revealed. But His love was not fully revealed. Now, His love was there, but it was not fully revealed. His love was fully revealed in Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, there were pictures of it, and there were things, places you could see it. But it was not fully revealed until there. But in the Old Testament sacrifice, there was a reminding over and over and over and over and over. God's going to get you for that. God's going to get you for that. But whenever we come to the Lord's Supper, it reminds us of the love of God. Don't go back to that. Don't go back. We're reminded of the love of God in what we do tonight. Whenever we say, this is my body which was broken for you. This is the blood of the New Testament of my covenant that is shed for you. I've given myself, I give my body, I give my blood for you to pay for your sins and to open the way into the holiest of all. And we'll look at that momentarily. Number two, the Old Testament sacrifices revealed physical beauty and religious ritual. Now, there's no doubt about it. Whenever people went to Jerusalem, and particularly in the days of Solomon's temple, and even in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, what we call Herod's temple, the second temple, in that day, whenever they came up from the valley of Jordan and they came up the mountains and climbed up, 25 and 12, 3,700 feet up to the Temple Mount, and they came across the Mount of Olives, and their eyes saw the temple. It was stunning in its beauty. I mean, the ritual there was impressive. I mean, they had the horns and they had the singers and they had all of it. And it was impressive. It was earthly. It was earthly. Don't know what happened to me there. It was earthly. Physical. Physical. Now, there were spiritual truths there, no doubt about it. But they were so overwhelmed by the physical that many times the spiritual truths were missed. But in the Lord's Supper, what is revealed is the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the spiritual nature and heavenly things are what's revealed in the Lord's Supper. Sometimes it's almost depressing to tour in many places, and many of you have done this in different cities and countries around the world, and you go and you visit cathedrals and you visit churches and you go there, and boy, the beauty of it is absolutely stunning. And they talk about the value of it. They talk about what it costs to build it, what it costs to maintain it, what the value of the things that are stored there, how much it's worth, and everything like that. And you know, we come in here and we say, wow, the colors are nice, and it's nice fixtures and everything. But man, whenever you go in those places, wow. I mean, there's no comparison. And I wonder, where in the world did they get the money to do this? But do you know what I'm impressed with whenever I see that? Those places are not built to worship God. They're not built for believers to fellowship. They're built to look at. They're built to look at. They're show places. They're museums. They are impressive. But whenever we come to what we do, there is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and the spiritual aspects of our lives, not the external things. Now, the external things are fine. They ought to be as nice as we can do. But sometimes we get so, as I was talking about this morning, so lavish on physical things. And people say, well, God ought to have the best. Well, that's true. God ought to have the best. But what He ought to have the best of is us. Give of your best to the Master. Give of your best. Number three, the Old Testament sacrifices. Old Testament sacrifices reminded the people over and over and over, the work is never done. It's never done. Over and over and over, as it says here, every priest standeth daily, offering minister and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. Over and over and over and over and over. The thousands, the hundreds of thousands, and the millions of animal sacrifices offered. And many times with the right spirit and a right attitude and offered in faith. But they could never take away sin. And every time they came to the sacrifices, every time they came to the temple to worship, every time they came to Passover, every time they're reminded, this work is never done. It's never done. Every time the priest went in to the holy place, there was the table of showbread. There was the altar of incense. There was the censer. But there was no chair. There was no chair. And that cycle, those priests through there day after day, day after day. And then annually the high priest would go past the veil into the holy place. All of this signifying that the work was never done. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, sat down. He finished it. And whenever we come to the Lord's Supper tonight, whenever we come to this time partaking of these reminders of His broken body and His shed blood, when we come to that time,
We remember. It's finished. It's finished. The work is done. He completed it. What a wonderful truth. Let it settle in on you tonight. The Old Testament sacrifices look back and reminded of sins that had been committed. And every year, there was a reminder of sin. Every offering was a reminder of sin. Whenever that lamb was sacrificed, there was a reminder of sins committed. Sins committed. Sins committed. Now, it did do this. There was a reminder of sins committed, but there was a looking forward to a final sacrifice. So you had two perspectives. You had a perspective that looked back on the sins. And then you had a perspective that looked forward to the day that the final sacrifice would be made. A sacrifice that qualified to do what animal sacrifices could never do. Now, there was a covering of sin by animal sacrifices, but they could never take away sin. But they looked forward to that one sacrifice that would be offered that did take away sin. And that's what the Old Testament sacrifices and the worship and Passover and all of those things. That's what they did. But whenever we come to the Lord's Supper, what we do is we look back to a sacrifice that was complete. And no remembrance of sin. God says, I will remember their sins no more. No more. Old country song. I haven't heard it for a long time, but I'm sure it's still around somewhere. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of God, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. God says, I won't remember them. You know, whenever you forgive someone, we don't have that power to forget. We cannot put that out of our minds. And so somebody says forgive and forget, and oftentimes we say, well, you know, preacher, I'll forgive, but I can't forget. I can't forget. Well, I know that. I know you can't forget. But whenever you forgive, you know what you do? You say, I release you from that. And I will never bring it up again. I'll never bring it up again. That's the end of that. You're released from that. I forgive you. Now, he not only does that. He not only says, I forgive you. But he removes it from the record. And wipes it from his own mind. I simply feel that I must tell whenever I was a kid preacher. And I know in my day as a kid preacher, I was thinking about this brochure for Southwide. And I was thinking through it. And I panicked because I was thinking through it and I was thinking of the preachers. And I was going down through it and I thought, I'm the oldest preacher on there. And then I found Bobby Robertson. Bobby's older than I, and so I was very comforted to find Bobby Robertson on there. Whenever I looked and saw that, I said, oh yeah, Bobby's there. Bobby's there. Can't remember where I was with that. What was I talking about? Shouldn't have gotten off on Bobby. I was talking about remembering, wasn't I? Talking about remembering. He remembers them against us no more. He not only says, I forgive you, I release you from that. He gives us the positive righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He removes from his mind the memory of our sins. And they'll never be brought up again. As a kid preacher, I used to preach to young people scare them slap to death. And they needed to be scared. I needed to be scared too. People had done it to me, I was going to do it to them. God's going to set up a screen. He's got a video of your life. We didn't call it a video. He's got a movie of your life. He's going to put it on the projector. Remember, we had the big reels and run it through and thread it through those things, you know, and everything like that, and turn it on, and the things would jump and everything, and then finally get in the groove. And you young people have no idea what I'm talking about. But some of you do. And I said, he's going to play it. He's going to play back your life. And how are you going to feel whenever he plays? This is your life. This is your life. And then I learned something. I learned that whenever he runs, this is your life, John Reynolds. And I know what's coming up. I know what I did. And I look, and I'm kind of looking and don't want to look. And all of a sudden, it just, bloop, it goes by. It's not there. It's edited out by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He remembers them no more. No more. So we look back to sins forgiven, and we look forward to a risen Savior return to claim his completed product. What a wonderful thing. This do in remembrance of me till I come. Till I come. He's coming back. The Old Testament sacrifices reminded the worshipers that there was a separation between them and God. Now, whenever the Old Testament worshipers came, they would bring their sacrifice, whether it was the pigeons, the turtle doves, or whether they'd bring a lamb or a goat or a bullock, whatever their sacrifice was, they would bring that. And whenever they brought it, they could come into the area. They could come into the area of the temple, and there the sacrifice would be made. But they couldn't go any further. They couldn't go into the holy place. That they were barred from that. That's as close as they could get. That's as close as they could get. And then they went into the holy place, and there was another block there. There was the block of the veil. And there were just all kinds of protections and guards put around as far as what God said. This you cannot go any further than this. And it reminded them all the time that there was this separation between them and God. That didn't mean God didn't love them. Didn't mean that at all. It didn't mean that God didn't care about them. It didn't mean that God wasn't providing for them. It didn't mean that at all. It just simply meant that there were things there because sins were covered but not removed. They could not have access into those places. And the restrictions for the priest going into the holy place were there was a multitude of those restrictions of how he had to be and what he had to be and what his activities were and what he could have done and when he took a bath and when he shaved and who he touched and where he went and what he walked over. All of those things. But when it came for the high priest going into the Holy of Holies, oh, the list just went on and on and on and on. That he had to qualify before he went in there, into that place. They were reminded at every point along the way, every year, every time they came to the temple, they were reminded, this is as far as you can go. This is as close to God as you can get. You can't get any closer than this. But he opened it up. what we have is better. And when we come to this time tonight, we are reminded that our Lord Jesus Christ rent the veil in twain. We can go into the holiest of all. Therefore, with boldness, we come into the presence of God. Not with a brashness, not with a presumptuousness, not with, God, you give me your attention. I'm here. I want you to listen to me right here. Now, I'm going to tell you what I want. I got my list made out right here. And this is what I want, and this is what I'm expecting from you. Some people say you pray like that. Oh, my soul. But we come in through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ into the presence of God Himself and make our requests known before Him as a child coming to the Father. What a wonderful privilege. What a wonderful privilege we have. Don't go back. Oh, who'd want to go back? Who'd want to go back to veils and separation and being blocked off and having to go through someone else and here's my sacrifice and will you take it and offer the sacrifice and will you take it in and offer it to God and perhaps God will be pleased to accept my sacrifice for this year. Oh, what a wonderful, sweet attitude that would be. But we're not like, don't go back to that. Don't go back to that. Direct access into the presence of the Father. Tonight, we come to remember the one who did that for us. And as the writer of Hebrews said to the Hebrews there, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't even look back to that. Don't even yearn for that. Don't even miss that. Don't even miss that. What you have now is so much better, so much superior, so far above. Enjoy that you have now. So we come tonight. We come tonight to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. That night when Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and He blessed it and He gave to them and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, He took the cup. When He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He comes. At this time, I'm going to ask in Highland Park Community Baptist Church, Brother Mucher, you go right ahead. You can separate from us here in Orange City. And you folks partake of the symbols of the Lord's body and the symbol of His blood and fellowship together in remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll do that here.